the rest of the story. Bill Porter was a robust fellow. He was built like a halfback, and yet pushing a pencil was almost too much for him. Bill was a writer who hated to write. He enjoyed putting the stories together in his head, stories about club men and cab men and thieves, and about policemen and touts and shop girls and stenographers and actors and hobos. Bill Porter really didn't mind making up those stories, but he did dread the chore of putting them on paper. He hadn't had much practice, actually, because it was late in his life before Bill ever wrote anything. And when he did begin writing, it was only for a few dollars here and there. And at the height of his fame, he was broken in debt. And yet, what makes the least sense of all is that Bill Porter hated writing in the first place. Well, why then did he do it? Why did he write so incessantly, some 250 works during the last years of his life? What drove him so passionately that overwork caused his health to fail in his mid-40s? Well, Bill Porter was a writer who hated to write. And because of that, he innovated the surprise-ending fictional style that we now associate with Alfred Hitchcock and Rod Serling. There was always a little twist at the conclusion of Bill's tales, an ironic capstone to each of his stories. An example might be the unselfish husband who pawned his watch to buy combs for his wife's lovely hair, only to discover that she'd cut off and sold her hair, to buy a chain for his watch. Bill Porter wrote that story, and hundreds like it. The characters he created almost 8 decades ago are still with us. The legendary safecracker Jimmy Valentine, the colorful caballero of the old American West, the Cisco Kid. And there's one story Bill Porter never told. Oh, it was a natural. It fit his style perfectly. It was a true story. But this one he never told. I'm going to tell it right now. Many who knew Bill were convinced that the passionate pace at which he worked had a purpose beyond profit, that the characters and the situations with which he flooded his sleepless brain he intentionally invited there to crowd out one unwelcome one. For once upon a time, Bill Porter had worked for a bank, and when he heard of a shortage in his accounts, he ran to Central America to hide from the law. Well, he wasn't there long before receiving a note from back home that his wife was dying, so Bill, who might have remained a free man in his self-imposed exile, returned instead to care for his wife, ultimately to give himself up. After his wife's death, Bill Porter was tried, and in April of 1898, he began serving a 5-year sentence in the Ohio State Penitentiary. And it was there that he began to write. It was when he came out a man of 40 that his writing began to sell, hard and fast, because he had but 9 years left. He ground out 250 great stories during those years, ducking the limelight, declining interviews, hiding behind a name that was not his own. He was a writer who hated to write, but he wrote, and he wrote so much in so little time because he was trying so hard to forget that one bleak chapter in his own life story. What an ultimate irony. And though he would not have wanted you to know, the final twist in the tale of Bill Porter does seem obvious, doesn't it? His nom de plume, the name under which the writer who hated to write continued to write. It was derived from the name of the captain of the prison guards at Ohio State Penitentiary, Captain Orrin Henry. The author, William Sidney Porter, wrote everything he wrote under the name of O. Henry. And now you know the rest of the story.